Praise the Lord, brothers. Another Monday night for our fellowship. I would just, first of all, ask you to pray for me. I do need the prayer. And because of the abundance of burdens and various needs, almost day and night, nonstop. And so I'm not even very sure I'm adequately prepared for tonight's fellowship. But anyway, here we are. I don't want to dwell on all the things that are happening. Every 24 hours, there's something new. And within the last 48 hours, you know, several days, and this, all the noise, all the demands, all the protests, and taking this country, if those things are followed through, I mean, the demands of the people, I don't happen to believe it's the majority, just a small number. This country is heading to a kind of abyss of anarchy and lawlessness. And we know that the Antichrist that is to come is called a man of lawlessness. And that means what characterizes him is simply just all kinds of lawlessness, no law, unruliness, anarchy, and rebellion. That's it. And there's nothing the enemy would like to see more than that on the earth today. An earth filled with lawlessness, unrighteousness, corruption, violence of all kinds. And this spirit is, you know, if it's not restrained somehow, this mystery of lawlessness, things would be much, much worse than that. So I ask you, brothers, to plead with you to pray for the United States, this country, our country, not because we are patriotic or we are nationalistic in that way, but this country right now is going through a great shakeup and in a very vulnerable state. Even the key elements of what keeps this country stable and secure are being challenged from inside, to dismantle this, to defund that, to basically to bring in a situation in society where there's no rule, no order. Everyone does what it's right in their eyes. And no law, no order, basically what I call an anarchy. And so, brothers, and this cannot be, this cannot be, this is not God. And this is not the time yet for this society to become like this. What can we do? Seems there's little that we can do, but we cannot turn a blind eye to that either and just say, what can we do? We shrug our shoulders and just kind of wait it out. Brothers, we can pray. We can pray and bind the lawless one. It says the Lord's prophecy in chapter 24 of Matthew that the lawlessness will advance further. and the love of people will grow cold. That's the Lord's word. Less and less love for God and for our neighbors, right? That is the commandment. But just simply lawlessness advances in every way. Brothers, this we have to pray. We don't agree with this. We must not agree with this kind of anarchy. And so I just ask you, brothers, pray. And these days, I would say, not just to pray in a general way, I would say for us, we need to pray for this country. Pray for the people, pray for the leadership. Pray for the rising up of the rational voices. Pray for common sense. Pray for the proper people to have influence in this country. Of course, pray for the proper leadership. I'm sorry to say that even the government is held hostage by a lot of these protests. And even people who thought they were advancing the cause of what these people want are now being caught in the middle themselves. It's a very, very strange situation. And brothers, we have to pray. We have to pray to bind this spirit of disobedience, this spirit of anarchy. We have to bind that. I think I mentioned this. I have not seen anything quite like this, except back in the 60s. And I would say today, the situation is worse than that, more serious than that, because a lot of these things that started in the 60s have become the norm, has become the accepted way of life, have to become truth, if you will. When it is really a lie. And today, people's swallow this whole thing, hook, line, and sinker, believing in the lie. And you got the media, you got the social media all working in tandem, in concert, to advance this lie. And so the young generation, especially, who have believed in this lie, are just swept away by all these kind of things. We cannot just sit over here and say we don't care. Yes, we are not here for social reform. We're not here involving ourselves to change the system and things like that. I think I mentioned to the saints on a Tuesday night about that. We have to stand with the truth in the Lord's word, and the truth is that we are not of this world. We are of a heavenly kingdom. We don't engage in these kind of work. But on the other hand, it does not mean, brothers, we don't care. Turn our face from that or put our head in the sand. We cannot do that. We need to engage in this warfare at a spiritual level, and that is mainly by prayer. A brother sent me something that he saw. I absolutely appreciate that, and maybe I will say something more about that tomorrow night, but how, you know, the incense altar, the golden incense altar, is in fact the center of, you know, the tabernacle, meaning that what takes place there actually activates or motivates the rest of the tabernacle to become active and useful and functional. All the other furnishings. And all those furnishings as a part in God's economy, from redemption to life to building, you know, God's, the outworking or the implementation of God's economy depends on the working, the functioning of all those furniture. But the prayer is, or the rather the golden incense altar, you know, the altar is the praying Christ. And the incense altar that is offered is the prayer of Christ. And today we are, be by virtue of being one with this Christ, so we are part of that praying Christ today on the earth, his body. We're also pray, our prayer also becomes part of that incense in Christ to ascend to God for God to accept and answer. So today, more than ever, brothers, we taking the lead and bearing responsibility, I would say this is the top responsibility we need to bear today, and that is to spend more time at that altar. I hope the elders are praying every day, every day. I hope the district brothers are praying every day. I hope the responsible ones are praying every day. It's not too much to pray every day and pray more and more specifically for this country. It is in a very, 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 very vulnerable times right now. And so we need to bind the strong man, bind Satan, bind the spirit of lawlessness and anarchy and rebellion. We have to bind the human beings and human instruments used by Satan and his and the evil spirits to perpetrate this evil and rebellion everywhere. Some on the streets, some not on the streets, but equally used by Satan to undermine the stability of this country. And we also have to pray to release the proper human beings that would be able to do something in all this messy situation to provide a voice of reason to that can really lead people this country in the right direction. We have an election coming up. Who should we vote for? I don't. What should we do? What will happen? This whoever gets elected will have a lot to do with how this country will be, and even how this country will stand on the world stage. So what a lot is riding on this, not just USA, but the whole world. So brothers, I do not want to be, I'm not a doomsayer, I'm not one to just bearer of bad news, and I'm not a pessimist and whatever you want to say. I am not. I am just an observer of things, and I'm a student of the Word of God, and I spend time before the Lord to bring these things to the Lord. Lord, what about this? What is going on? Why are these things happening? Lord, teach us how to pray, even in this situation, the right prayers. I'm still concerned many saints are not praying yet the right prayers. Either those prayers are way too shallow, way too selfish, and I'll say more tomorrow night about it. you know, that veil that separates not just the holiest of all and the holy place, but what separates the Ark of the Testimony and the incense altar was riven. And it must be riven in our experience. And that veil is a type of the flesh of Christ that was riven from top to bottom on the cross and opening a new and living way for us to come in for this golden altar and the ark and the propitiatory cover to be joined up as one, and also for us to have a way into the holiest to be at the throne of God, the throne of grace. And so actually functionally, the ark and the incense altar are actually almost inseparable. We'll talk about this. But my point is, brothers, we also need to experience the riven veil. That means our flesh has to be torn. When Christ died on the cross, when he died, we died in him, didn't we? When he was crucified, we were crucified with Christ. So when his flesh was torn, that means our flesh is torn, but experientially, how much is our flesh torn? If our flesh is not terminated, if our natural man is still alive, if our old man is still active, if we are not really living a crucified life, brothers, our prayers will not work. Our prayers will still be on this side of the veil, because the veil still exists, and it cannot pass through into the Holy of Holies and into before the throne of grace. So, brothers, I'm concerned. So these days, we need to severely, severely deny ourselves, live under the shadow of the cross, repudiate our flesh, deny our natural man and our natural energy and motives and all of that. And really, really, by doing that, we can join ourselves to Christ, even incorporated with Christ. Then and only then, we will pray a prayer that really matches God's heart. The prayer that Christ himself is praying or interceding at the right hand of God. Brothers, I just want to say that these are very serious days and unusual days, extraordinary days. None of us can live in an ordinary way anymore. None of us can live in the normal, quote, way anymore. These are not normal times, brothers. We must be different. We must live in a different way that match the hour, that match what God wants to do. Now, tonight I need to spend, of course, some time to talk about what I said, how to build up the church, right? How to build up the local churches. And by doing so, how do we build up the body of Christ with the reality of the body? And so even with this matter, we need to go on. We cannot even remain in what we knew before and what we think it's okay. The kind of church life that we knew, the way we take care of the church, the way we quote-unquote build up the church, the way we met, the way we do things, even that, brothers, we need to look over that all over again. We need to consider, is our church life according to the times? Is our church life matching what God wants today? Or is it just a good, old-fashioned church life, doing all the good things? And I'm not saying bad things, good things, right things, necessary things, the routine, quote-unquote, normal things that we do, they are not enough, brothers. They are not adequate to meet the present need today. So when we talk about how to build up the church, I hope we're not thinking about just the old things. You say, well, we have 2 years of eldership training, you know, all those things. Yes, they are very important. They still are. And the churches in Taiwan are now all starting the elders training 5 years later than us. They are doing that, the whole of Taiwan, the churches. And that is not a small thing. So I'm not saying those things are not important. But brothers, if we just do something is still in an ordinary way, we cannot meet God's need. So last Monday, I start to talk about what is really God's need today. To be put it concisely, to put it very, very succinctly, God's need today, to the way for him to build up the church, the way for the church to work out his purpose on the earth at this time, at this end of the age, is to produce overcomers, is to produce an overcoming part of the church, because the church generally has failed. So the last book of the Bible, there were 7 epistles written to 7 churches. Actually, it's a bundled collective epistles to the churches, And at the end, it is he who overcomes. So do you see this, brothers? That is where we are today. And we are now even 2,000 years later than John at the Isle of Patmos. Don't you believe today these 2,000 years is a fulfillment of those 7 churches in history, of what degradation, of corruption, of apostasy, of all manners of evil, and even though there will be times of some recovery and restoration, it has not, by and large, arrived at the point of where God wants the church to be and to do, with the exception of Philadelphia. That is the situation. And so even in Philadelphia, there is the call, he who overcomes, he who overcomes. So today, the call of the 7 spirits of the Lord is not just for good brothers and sisters merely, just for believers and saints. It is for those he who overcomes, because only the overcomers will finish God's work in this age. Only the overcomers can conclude God's move in this age. Only the overcomers will arrive at a condition with the reality of the body of Christ, with the reality of the bride, with the reality of God's warring army, to join Christ and to be one with Christ to end this age. Only the man-child, when he is born, is Satan cast from the air onto the earth. And when the kingdom of this earth is become the kingdom of Christ, of the Lord and of his Christ. Brothers, we are in the latter part, very latter part of the church age. If we are not at this, the darkest moment before dawn, I don't know what time we would be. And so, brothers, there needs to be a waking up. There needs to be a rising up from the dead so that Christ can shine on us, so that we know what we should be doing in the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery today cannot just be doing the ordinary work. yes, we preach the gospel, we save people, we nourish and feed them, we build them up, we perfect them and train them, and so on and so forth. Apparently, we're doing these things, but actually, we're here to produce Zion. We're here to produce the high peak of Jerusalem. We're here to really attain to the reality of the church, the reality of the body, I say, the reality of the bride, the reality of the warrior, the reality of the one new man. It's not even how many people we have, it's how much reality we possess that will bring the Lord back. But that reality has to be borne by people, by persons, by saints, by Christ's members. And so what we are here today doing in the recovery, especially because of the truth that has been passed on to us, because of the vision that we have seen from the ministry of the age, we are obligated to a much higher calling to produce the overcomers. We ourselves have to be overcomers. Otherwise, how can we produce overcomers? Really speaking, today, we cannot just have eldership. We need overcoming eldership. We cannot have just elders. We need elders who are themselves overcomers. And we need to produce overcomers in the church. Now, let me say this. This does not mean we don't care for all the saints, the weak saints, the peripheral saints, the needy saints. No, we care for them. We need to take care of them. But, brothers, we are here firstly to produce the overcomers. In fact, even when we're here shepherding the saints, caring for the believers, our view is not just so that they can be better or they can just do better. Our burden is actually they would be overcomers. They would be those who would be part of the contingent that will usher in the kingdom. This is our burden. So how do we do this? Well, the picture is Zion in Jerusalem, a high peak in a city and a mountain, high mountain in a flat, a relatively flat place. That is Jerusalem. That is not just a picture. I would say even there is, in this picture, there is implication in as to how we serve, how we build up the church life today. And that is what? From center to circumference, starting with a group of saints and believers and brothers and sisters who are desperate, who see this view, who are burdened with this. This group of saints will come together to pray, to be desperate for the church, for your local church. They would pray, they would fellowship, they would be built up one with another, and from them, it will spread out to the rest of the church. Brother, I'm just thinking these days about the way Brother Lee worked, Brother Lee, and starting with Chifu, which was his first experiment in building up a local church in northern China, all the way to Taiwan, all the way to the U.S., all the way unto the last years of his life, he actually practiced the same thing, or he led the building up of the churches according to the same principle, and that is to start with Zion, start with raising up a peak, raising up a group, a core, a nucleus of stronger saints. And these ones are more absolute, these ones are more given, they are ready, they are Nazarites, they are just in principle the overcomers. And they would become the strength of the of the church, they would become the enriching and the strengthening of the church. And Brother Lee say a Jerusalem without Zion is flat. A church without overcomers is a weak church, and a Jerusalem without Zion, he said, a church that is without Zion is like a flat tire. Now, these are all his speaking. And I must confess, when I heard those things, I did not get it. I did not get it. In fact, I was a little bit like, Brother Lee, it's too much. You're speaking too highly, too strongly. How can we reach that peak? How can we all be overcomers? When Brother Lee started the vital group training, he eventually said the vital groups are the overcomers of the church. That's what he said. And I heard that word, and I said, Brother Lee, this cannot happen because we have just been through a huge, huge, big storm. We are just flat on our back. We're in the ICU. We have no strength to do all the things you're charging us to do in the vital group training. Well, maybe I had an excuse. Maybe a very terrible turmoil did something to us that we could not rise up and respond. But brothers, now it's almost 30 years later. This is not 1993. This is 2020. And give it a few more years, it would be 30 years from the time Brother Lee gave those words to us. And today, the Lord's recovery, I would say, is in a good condition. I must say that by his mercy. But that good condition is not good enough. That is like Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a good place, a marvelous place. But the overcomers are today Zion. Where are the overcomers? Now, let me say again, brothers, overcomers are not superheroes. They're not super believers. They are ones just according to what God wants. Those who are living, those who are active, those who are vital, those who are following him, those who follow the Lamb where he goes, those who are virgins, not undefiled. They are the man-child, the strong part. These are not super characteristics. They are the normal characteristics of God's people. But alas, God's people fail. The church fail. So the overcoming ones look like they are super, but they are not. This is what God wants with every believer. So brothers, let this start with us. I would say if there's a core, the core must be the elders. Well, but not just the elders. There must be a core of saints in your locality, brothers and sisters. Find them, pray for them, look for them, gather them together, have meals with them. Well, today we cannot have meals, but contact them, stir them up, fellowship with them, do what you can to fan the flame, to cause them today to live for Christ, absolutely for the church, to join hands, to close ranks, to be that core part, that man-child, strong part of the church. But they are not for themselves just to be strong, just to be spiritual. No, they exist for the woman. The man-child exists for the woman. But what the woman cannot do, this man-child did. But at the end of the day, is for the woman. Zion is not for itself. Zion is for Jerusalem. One day in the new Jerusalem, there will be no Zion because that Jerusalem has become Zion itself in the new heaven and the new earth. And today, we must work and serve like that. Now, I know, brothers, I'm making some seemingly very strong demands on you, the NorCal churches. But, brothers, I have expectation. The Lord has blessed us too much in these last 5-6 years. And even with all this blessing, with the one accord we have, we're building a blending center. We are moving on in so many ways. Brothers, I would even say just that is not enough. We need to advance. We need to go higher. And so I hope you catch this vision. And I have really, really, you know, no way, you know, A, B, C way. And Brother Lee himself never give us A, B, C way. He said, the vital group start with one person. Listen, you know how to build up the church? Start with one. And who is that one? You. Me. That's how it starts. The church may have 100, 200, 300, but it starts with one, or a few ones, or a number of ones who themselves have the Lord's mercy and grace to rise up to make resolution. This is my second point. The first thing is it has to start with one. And this one have to make a resolution. Brother Lee say, this one is one who is burdened and desperate for the Lord's recovery. And this one would what? Would spend time to pray and repent to the Lord and deal with the Lord and for all his shortcomings and transgressions and wrongdoings and sinfulness until they experience the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of the Lord's blood, and they become alive, they become living. Brother Lee talked about his own story in Chifu, how every morning for months he went up to this mountain, and they just cry in front of the Lord how dead he was, and then repenting, and then one day the Spirit was there filling him. I believe that is absolutely the baptism of the Spirit. And he became different. He became vital. He became living. And that's after 8 years with the brethren, Brother Lee, 8 years with the brethren, just dead with doctrine, with knowledge, but he became alive. And that one man becoming alive, I tell you, caused the little church in Chifu to be vitalized and changed and so on and so forth. He gave us that testimony. Start with one. Brothers, it start with many ones. That one could be a sister. That one could be a brother. And for us, brothers, it has to include us. Or else, what are we doing here, brothers? Look, brothers. After this pandemic, this world will not be the same. I'll tell you that. It will not be the same anymore. And how can we be the same? There is a desperate hour. This now is the desperate hour. So the second thing is to make a resolution. Brother Lee say, like the tribe of Reuben, they may have great resolution in their heart. Brothers, it's time to make the Nazarite vow. It's time to make the Reuben resolution. Lord, I will be an overcomer. I will take this way. Brothers, I especially ask all the younger brothers among us, right? You're in your 30s, 40s. Thank the Lord you are serving. You have a heart. But I challenge you. I ask of you, brothers. These are special times. And these special times and these crises actually gave us the perfect opportunity to have a new beginning. Ourselves personally, our local church where we are, to have a new beginning. It depends whether we want that or not. And then to go to the Lord with repentance, with dealing. And these days, we cannot remain in some superficial prayer, superficial dealings with the Lord. It has to go deeper and deeper until our whole being is released, vitalized, alive, and burning, and just burn. We're just burn on fire, living in that kind of a way. And I tell you, that is the organic way to build up the church, because soon you cannot stop burning, and you will start finding those others who are burning like coals of fire. None of us can stay burning by ourselves for long. We need to find the companions. These are the first groups of people to form the core. So when I say core, I don't mean just one big core. It may start with small cores of what? Of twos or threes or fours or fives or six or seven, whatever it may be, to begin to pray and do the same thing. So this fire will spread. The way to build up the church is not by just a manual, you know, one, two, three, check the boxes, and that's how you build up. You can build up a denomination that way, okay? You can build up something that way. But the true work of God, the organic work of God, is never in that way. It is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that will build the church, and we build the church with the Spirit. And eventually the church is just the Spirit, the reprint of the Spirit. And so, brothers, we need ourselves to be just full of the Spirit, burning in Spirit, drinking the Spirit, and just full of the Spirit. And those who are like this will come together and burn even more, and drink even more, and pray even more. From this core, I tell you, things will flow outward. It will begin to affect, listen, of course, our daily life, first of all, our daily life. It will affect our meeting life with this core of saints. This is Zion. They are now they are the reality. They have the reality. They have the Spirit of reality. They pay the price, and here they are. They take the lead to lose the soul life. They take the lead to bear the cross. They take the lead. All the things that we know, they do. And now they are here, just what? Beginning to burn and to spread this fire to those around. And brothers, and you may say, oh, you're just telling us how to do a vital group. I don't even use the term vital group. I don't, because right away we have certain concepts of certain ways. I'm talking about organically, brothers. Not all the saints will start this way. That's Jerusalem. But there has to be a Zion that starts this way, to come together regularly, to pray for the church, to pray for the saints, to pray for those you're burdened for. And out of this, you would begin to seek the saints who are less burning, who are the next circle, so to speak. Do you follow me? And we all know some of who these ones are, and you begin to reach out to them and seek them and burn them and fellowship with them and care for them and all of these things that we need to do to make them one of us. And brothers, as we take this way, the Lord will honor, the Lord will even cause the saints to pay attention. The Lord will cause open ways, even in our situation, for more things to happen. And this will even affect our services. This will affect our meetings. And even, I would say, this group of saints will be eventually mainly burdened, not just for affairs, to take care of this or that. This group of people in burning are actually burdened and caring for people. Firstly, the saints, you know, that they join with, and then slowly they would be burdened for others, for the unsaved, for the seekers, and so on and so forth. And they there's no arrangement, there's no this. They are just flowing. They are just burdened. They are just bursting over with burdens because they are alive. And brothers, you say, oh, I thought we were going to get some points from you that to teach us how to make this thing work. Well, you're telling us the same old thing that you've been always telling us. Maybe, but brothers, I am now speaking with a particular, in the particular context, if you will, of Zion and Jerusalem. The church life is Jerusalem, but build up the Zion in this kind of a way. I think as we do this, we will learn. Now, it could be even now in the churches, there are these cores already, or there is a core already. Wonderful. Then you take this core to a higher level, to make it more hot, to make it more burning, to make it more focused, and even to be built up together. And there would be two or three here, two or three there, and put together, they would just be coals of fire that burn in the church. I think if we take this way, it will be maybe just not for a very long time, something will happen. Start to happen in this local church, in that local church. You will see this. And brothers, let's have faith. Let's have faith in the Lord, and not with have no unbelief that the Lord will do this. I tell you, I am saying this as one who have studied decades in study of how to have a new beginning in the USA, if you will, to have a revival, to have a something that will please God and something that will that would be a prevailing work and move of the Lord. And today, all the churches are in good condition, relatively. There's no turmoil, there's no fighting. But brothers, they're going forward. Then all this world situation hit this year. It hit us all at once. Then I said, Lord, is that your speaking? Is that your speaking that we need to grasp the opportunity now? You know, there's a book called The Present Way to Advance in the Lord's Recovery or something, right? In the 80s or something. I'm sure there are things that Brother Lee has said there, has spoken there, that would be useful to us. Actually, all the things Brother Lee say, I have spoken to you. It's up to you whether you do it or not. There's nothing new. You know what I mean. But I feel these days to incorporate this vision of Zion and Jerusalem, you know, and put it together with the so-called vital group practice. And especially, brothers, to take the way of prayer as a start, and rebuild our church, to build up our local churches in an organic way. I almost would say, you know, even when I say build up the church, that sounds like, whoa, this big burden. And brothers, just start. Just start with the revival of one and pray for the revival of the Lord to spread in this kind of a way, from center to circumference, from Zion to Jerusalem. That's really what I want to share tonight. Well, as Brother Lee say, will you be vital? He just asked that plain, blunt question. It's as if, like, if you want to, you will be. You know, it's almost saying that. Brothers in Northern California, will you, especially the younger brothers, will you be vital in this way? Have you catch this vision? Are you making this resolution to do something for the Lord in this kind of a way? I pray that you will. You say, I don't know how to reach out. How about start with prayer? Just pray. And pray specifically for persons, for, you know, different situation. Pray specifically for your church. Pray specifically for actually people that the Lord would raise up and stir up and build up, you know, in your locality. This Zion will possess the reality of the body, the bride, and the warrior, as I said. And let's practice this. Now, I'd like to say a few words. I'll end at 8:15. There's a training coming up, the semi-annual training. And this time, it will, of course, be online and virtual. And the brothers tonight, after I'm done, will have some particular fellowship with you concerning how to conduct that training in a good, solid way. I'm going to take part in this training. I'm going to speak along with other co-workers. This training will be on the crystallization of Jeremiah and Lamentations. And I just want to say a word to encourage all of you brothers, not only to participate in this training, but to lead this training in a most solid way, because we have always had video trainings earthwide. And the truth of the matter is, in many places, those trainings are not that well run. They are kind of loose. They are not so strict. They have a very loose schedule, and there's no testing. There's no studying. They just basically just watch a video, and that's about it. Even when they watch, it's who knows what they're doing. Well, we have a strong burden, brothers, to not let that happen, so that our training, this first virtual training we have, would be a successful one. And to do that, we need all of us brothers to gird up, and not to take this training in a loose way. You know, the stricter something is, the more we will benefit. The looser something is, the more it will just be a waste and a loss. This applies to any kind of endeavor. So this being the first time, may I charge you, the serving brothers in all the churches, the leading brothers, the responsible ones, to really apply yourself to this training. And according to the instructions and the fellowship from Living Stream Ministry, from the co-workers, and also from the brothers in Northern California who have been spending time in how to conduct this in a good way. So I hope you will pay attention to the fellowship and follow through with that. The saints still need the word, the ministry of the word, for our supply, for our direction, for the Lord's present speaking. And I hope that we would be exercised in that kind of a way. All right, brothers, I really don't have anything further tonight to share. The church in churches in Taiwan, I'm having regular fellowship with the co-workers there. I thank the Lord for the brothers there. They're very, very much endeavoring. Of course, their situation is not as bad as ours. But let me tell you, if you're in Taiwan, you're under some regular threat of some kind, okay? And they are a burden for migration just to follow us here. They are a burden for the prayer. By the way, they're going to continue to pray in this daily watchman, they call them watchman prayer over there. And they said, we will continue to pray this way until the Lord comes, because after these 60 days, we cannot stop. We perceive that this is what the Lord wants to do. And up and down the island, they are rolling over. They are not in any kind of retreat. They're not kind of waiting it out. They are in a very, very aggressive mode. I'm so inspired by that, so inspired. So, brothers, those who know their God should show strength and take action. So these are not days to wait and retreat. These are the days to advance the Lord's recovery, to advance the church life, to advance even the gospel and the Lord's spread. Amen. I'll just stop there.